Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother, Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So far, some of the text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, the seed of the woman who has come to destroy Satan and set us free from the slavery to sin, dear fellow redeemed. Question. How many types or kinds of people are there in this world? I mean, you may think that that question is an impossible one to answer. I mean, there are many races and ethnicities, different personalities, different moods and feelings, shapes and sizes, all kinds of different people. In fact, there's probably as many different kinds and types of people as there are people in this world, right? Yeah, in a way there is. If you get down to the very basics of humanity, there's really only two kinds of people. Ready for this? The one kind are those who live only for this world. The other kind are those who live only in this world. The one kind are the unbelievers. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. That consists of the ungodly, immoral, wicked, evil, but also the nice and kind and pleasant. But they don't believe in Jesus. If they don't believe in Jesus, they're only living for this life, this world. The other kind are the godly, the believers in Christ, those who live in this world but are living for the other world, for heaven, the promised eternity that God has assured them through Jesus. Our sermon text last Sunday, as well as our first scripture reading, was part of our sermon text from last Sunday, which talked about the terrible event that brought sin to this world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Before that fall into sin, there was only one type or kind of person in this world, perfect and holy. But then man lost eternal life. In his fallen state, Perfect obedience now was and is impossible. There is no person in this world that can earn his way into everlasting life by himself, by his deeds, because God demands perfection, and people can only give imperfection. As we heard, God of all grace already planned another way, the way of faith. And so he promised a deliverer, one who would come to crush Satan's power and control over mankind and set us free from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And from that point on, God has given to mankind by his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit the ability to embrace with faith this promise of a deliverer, or to refuse that promise and turn away from God. And how do all those people who refuse the promise of Jesus, the Savior, show it in their life, in their lifestyle? By living for this life. By living in this life and looking for the reward here and now in the eternity, in time, not giving a care or thought about eternity. Whereas the believer, on the other hand, lives in this earth, enjoys the blessings of this earth, but doesn't live for this world. He lives for heaven, eternal joys above. These two different lifestyles, these different kinds of people, are already seen in the first two people born to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. We mentioned this in several sermons in the past. History is his story. It's God's story of Jesus Christ. And that's seen very evident in the Bible, in the scriptures. And as you know, the scripture doesn't record every single event or every single historical event in the world, nor does it give a detailed description or biography of every single person mentioned. Sometimes it's very sketchy, sometimes it's very detailed. But it's always discussing the kingdom of God, God's rule in the hearts of his people, and how Jesus Christ affects mankind. Well, in our sermon text this morning, we have one of those sketchy skeletal biographies, the first two sons born into this world, Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve gave birth to many, 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 many other children, because it was their children that then populated the world by giving birth to their children. We're only told of these two, and later on of another son named Abel. The sketch that we're given is that these two were now adults. Perhaps they're already grandparents, maybe great-grandparents. Remember, back then, people lived to be hundreds and hundreds of years old. But the sketchy details that we're given are for our instruction and for our learning. We're told Cain, the older one, became a farmer. Abel, his younger brother, became a shepherd. And in the course of time, instructed by their parents, and also seeing their example, they gave offerings of sacrifice to the Lord. And they did this, no doubt, to give thanks to God for creating them, for giving them this wonderful world to live in, and for the promise of the coming Messiah, the Savior. And so they gave of their offerings of sacrifices from their occupation. We're told Cain gave of the fruit of the ground, Abel gave of the firstlings of the fat of his lambs. But there the similarities end. God respected Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. So why? Why did God say, Abel, I love your offering. Cain, I despise yours. Was it because he likes farmers or shepherds better than farmers? Was it because he likes little lambs better than corn or grain or fruit? Now, this difference lies in the heart of the offerer, not in the offering. And we know that because Scripture tells us that. In Hebrews 11, verse 4, we read, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Abel offered the first things of his flock out of a repentant, godly, sorrowful, trusting heart. He believed in the coming Messiah, the Redeemer, the seed of the woman. Cain did not. Cain brought his offering, as his parents had instructed him. He brought his offering to the Lord, out of duty possibly, but there was no heart, no love, no thanks. He gave his offering because it was the thing to do. It was the time for offering. Pure formalism. Simply going through the motions. And that's the first great truth we learn from this morning's sermon text. Our worship, our prayers, our devotion, our offerings, if they are not given out of love for the Lord and in thanksgiving for Jesus Christ and all he's done for us, then they're not acceptable to God. Again, in the book of Hebrews, we read, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The determining factor in worship is the attitude of the heart of the worshiper. God doesn't look at the act of our worship. He looks at the heart of the worshiper. If our worship is with a repentant heart, godly sorrow over our sins, and trust alone in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, he receives that with thanksgiving and love toward us, even as it enables. But if we honor him with our lips and praise him with our mouths and our heart is far from him, he rejects our worship, just like he rejected Cain's offering. And Cain proved that his worship was not from the heart when he reacted in anger, in jealousy, and in hatred. With sinful pride and self-righteousness, he directed his anger against God for his rejection of his offering toward his brother. But Cain had no reason to be angry. He really should have thanked God. He should have thanked God for his grace by calling him and saying, Cain, what you're doing isn't right. What you're doing is just trying to deceive me. You need to get your heart in the right place. God gave him an opportunity to repent of his sin, to turn his heart around and look to him in true repentant faith. God had all the right in the world to be upset with Cain. But instead, Cain's sin-hardened, unbelieving heart rejected that advice. And in sinful pride, it made him even only angrier. He was not willing to repent of his sin of hypocrisy. He's not willing to listen to God's word. Instead of blaming himself, he blamed his brother. And in hatred and anger, he killed him. The warning that God had given to Abel, sin lies at the door of your heart. And its desire is for you. It wants to devour you. But you should rule over it. That fell on deaf ears and an unbelieving, spiritually unbelieving, dead heart. Cain opened wide his heart, unfortunately, to his sinful thoughts, and they rushed in. Bitterness, jealousy, resentment, envy, feeling sorry for himself, pride, anger, hatred. And the results were tragic. Brother killed brother. What a serious progress of sin we see in just these first four chapters of the book of Genesis. Man's sin leads from disobedience to God to the very first murder recorded in the Bible. And the first murder taking place by the very first person born in the world, killing his own brother. And what do we see today? We see murder is commonplace. Murder is rampant. I looked up some statistics. One person commits suicide, that's self-murder, in this world every 40 seconds. One person is murdered by someone else in this world every 60 seconds. And one person is killed by armed conflict in this world every 100 seconds. It means within this 1 hour of worship this morning from 9 to 10, there are 90 people in this world who have committed suicide and 60 who have been murdered by someone else. Those figures are astronomical in their horror. What an octopus sin has become, fastening its tentacles upon the hearts and minds and lives of the human race in its control. What a cursed thing sin is. It's in every single one of us. It affects every single one of us. It affects our relationships with our brothers and sisters, our family, our friends, relatives, the family of faith. It affects our relationship with God. Sin lives in you. And sin lives in me. In fact, it lies at the very door of our hearts like a wild beast wanting to just pounce on us and devour us with our thoughts and lead us into sinful actions. But in our scripture reading, in our text this morning, we see that God's grace is definitely at work. He didn't destroy Adam and Eve when they fell into sin. He promised the Savior, one who'd set them free, conquer and destroy death and hell and Satan, and give them freedom, eternal life. He didn't kill the murderer Cain either. He came to him again with another word of warning and a plea for repentance and asked him the question, where is Abel, your brother? It's a lot like last Sunday when we heard God reach out to Adam with a question trying to lead him to repentance too when he said, where are you, Adam? God wants Cain to think about what he just did. What have you done? Where's your brother? But with a hardened heart, he shows no remorse, gives an outright lie, and says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Because of his sin and his refusal to repent of his sin, the Lord God laid upon him this consequence, that he be a homeless vagabond the rest of his life, and being the farmer that he was, the ground would no longer give the strength of his crops to Cain. The rest of his life would be like a living hell for Cain, as he would be removed from God's presence. What a world of tragedy is seen in that verse, where it says Cain not only moved away from his family to the area of Nod, east of Eden, but he removed his presence spiritually from God. And in the next chapter we see that Cain's children and children and children down the extra next generations didn't believe in the Lord either. So in this very first generation of mankind on this earth, we see a divided world. Cain, the seed of Satan, under the control and rule of Satan, as are the unbelievers. Abel, the seed of the woman, under the control of the Holy Spirit, created faith in his heart, as are the believers. Next Sunday, we'll see how bad the seed of Satan grew and how quickly it grew on the face of the earth. So today, when you look at people, and you talk to people, and you visit with people, there are only two kinds of people on this earth. those who are the seed of Satan, those who've rejected Jesus Christ or never heard of Jesus Christ, live in unbelief, under Satan's control, living only for this life, or the child of God, the one who the Holy Spirit has worked saving faith in his or her heart to believe in Jesus Christ, who live in this life but live for the world that is to come, for heaven, the promise given to us through Jesus. May all, by God's grace, be found among those who have had faith worked in their hearts by the Holy Spirit, and count all the things of this world, all the many things we have in this world, as being insignificant, worthless, when it comes to believing in Jesus. And may we also come before our Lord with our worship, our praise, our offerings, our devotions from the heart. A heart of repentance, a heart of sorrow, a heart of joy, a heart of rejoicing, a heart of faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, looking to the perfect sacrifice for us, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection from the dead. Then we can live every day in this world, not living for this world, but living in this world, and saying with the hymn writer, "I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.